It is absolutely pouring down with rain in London. It's August the 2nd, 2023, and it feels very much like November the 2nd. The cats have got wet playitis, so they're jumping about all over the place in my kitchen where I'm recording this. Goodness me, terrible weather, but a great time to talk about pressure groups. Hello, and welcome to the A-Level Politics Show. On today's pod, we will return to a topic that students always study hard for, but often fail to give recent examples for, and thus don't do as well as they should. Remember that we are not studying for history A-Level peeps, thus it is high time I updated my own podcast on this issue, Pressure Group Influence, which is the most downloaded A-Level Politics episode in A-Level Politics Show history. Not this one yet, but the one I recorded previously on the same topic a few years ago. Let's see if we can't change that with this pod. The question I will seek to answer is this. Evaluate the view that pressure group influence in the UK is more dependent upon government support than any other factor. We're questioner. Well, we try to put you through some hoops here, throw some curveballs once in a while. So what I'm really trying to get you to do here is to consider a number of factors that affect pressure group influence and then to see which one is the most important. I will discuss insider and outsider status, the size and resources available to pressure groups, the leadership of pressure groups, public support, and lastly, government attitudes. My direction is that yes, government attitudes are perhaps the most significant factor in affecting pressure group influence. This doesn't have to be your view, but I am modelling something essential in politics essays. Always pick a side. Introduce the weak arguments and trash them continually throughout your answer, but not before giving some airtime to consider those weaker arguments. And of course, examples, like I said at the beginning. The class of 2024 must use 2022-2023 examples far more than examples from prior years. Aim for at least one 2022-2023 example in each paragraph. That's pretty much my advice for every single essay on pretty much any politics topic, maybe with the exception of voting behaviour, but that's for another time. Right now, it's pressure groups, and first up is the idea that status, insider or outsider, affects the success of pressure groups. See you after the break. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you an important message. Matthew Phillips is in the house. How are you, Matthew?
I'm very well. How are you, Nick?
I'm really good. Tell us your news.
The news is there is a podcast for A-level students and teachers alike, and it is very much like the beloved A-level politics show.
What, a rival podcast?
Like the A-level politics show. It's meant to, I don't know, have a great relationship with.
Okay, tell us more.
So as I say, it's for students who study A-level history, but it's also for teachers as well. If you've loved the A-level politics show, you might like the A-level history podcast. And every week we dig deep into what you need to know about A-level history. We're currently looking at the Cold War. We also cover essay questions, primary source questions, and interpretations questions as well. In past episodes, we have explored the differences between the Soviet Union and Western liberal democracy. We've also looked at the relationship between Clement Attlee, Harry Truman, and Joseph Stalin in the most recent episode. But I know what you love most about the A-Level Politics show is how it breaks down key concepts and helps you answer difficult essay questions. So in future episodes, in fact the next episode, we're going to be looking at how to answer essay questions in A-level history. All your fantastic sentence starters will be there, examples, and also thinking about how you can structure your answer as well. So if you've love the A-Level Politics show, you might like the A-Level History podcast.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm certainly going to listen to it. Thanks, Matthew. and on with the show. And what Matthew and I failed to tell you in that little advert was that the A-Level History podcast can be accessed, listened to on Spotify. So get going with that. But on with today's podcast, my podcast. And we are focusing on this idea of pressure group influence and whether it's government attitudes that matter the most in determining pressure group success. Now, there is a school of thought that your status as a pressure group determines your success. Insider groups are very powerful and influential, and the conventional wisdom goes, outsider groups, those without close contacts with government, are not. Let's just give this argument some airtime. Insider groups tend to negotiate quietly behind the scenes using their private contacts in Whitehall. They may even be given the opportunity to offer their views on draft legislation. Private healthcare companies helped draft the controversial Health and Social Care Act that they themselves stood to benefit from. Think tanks that are close to a political party or factions within a party have a good chance of influencing public policy too. The Institute for Economic Affairs, IEA, has very close ties to several senior Conservative politicians. The Truss government's mini-budget in September 2022 included several tax-cutting measures that the IEA were advocating for. Big corporations, as well, are often seen as a form of insider pressure group due to their financial muscle and importance to the economy, and can often persuade governments to implement favourable policies. Nissan's threats to leave the UK after Brexit were somewhat rewarded when Theresa May's administration offered sweeteners to stay in Sunderland. Outsider groups, meanwhile, lack those contacts within government and thus are forced to attempt influence through email campaigns and petitions or staging demonstrations and publicity stunts. Direct action of this sort is often purely symbolic of a lack of influence. The multiple strikes by public sector unions in 2023 did not lead to pay rises that kept pace with inflation. They did not have the insider muscle that they required. However, not all insider groups are influential in every circumstance, while not every outsider campaign fails. Therefore, the status of pressure groups is not necessarily solely determinant of their success. So not every insider group is always listened to. The CBI, the Confederation for British Industry, was once very close to the Conservative Party, yet it opposed its policy on Brexit to no avail. This example shows that it is impossible for an insider group to be influential on every single issue. The CBI example also demonstrates that insider status is never permanent. A series of sexual harassment scandals surrounding the business lobbying group resulted in the CBI director having to resign. The major political parties cut ties with the organisation and it was forced to suspend operations in April 2023. Meanwhile, even outsider groups can assert their influence over government policy. Rights group Liberty may well be shut out of decision-making when it comes to the government's illegal immigration act that curtails the right to claim asylum, but it campaigned successfully on the government's partial repeal of the Coronavirus Act in 2021 to ease lockdown restrictions. Acorn, a group that campaigns for the rights of renters, managed to persuade the government to clamp down on no-fault evictions in its renters reform bill. Therefore, while insider groups are invariably more influential than outsiders, their continued influence is not guaranteed. And I also don't want to overplay this too far the other way. Acorn and other housing rights groups like Shelter are still countering a decade or more of government policy that has resulted in 131,000 children being classed as homeless. That's enough kids to fill the O2 centre in Greenwich. Think about that, folks. Also, in relation to this question, it demonstrates then that yes, government attitudes are hugely important for the success of pressure group, regardless of whether they are insider or outsider. Let's now turn to groups that have resources, financial resources mainly, and large memberships. And we can say that groups with resources and large membership can be influential. A large membership that pays subscriptions means that a group is likely to have the financial firepower to run offices, pay permanent staff and organise publicity. For example, the RSPCA employs about 1,600 people, supported by thousands of volunteers, and can afford to take out full-page advertisements in national newspapers. The size of a pressure group's membership can also be important in persuading government that it reflects a significant chunk of public opinion. For this reason, the RSPCA has been at the forefront in changes to animal welfare laws dating back to 1824 when it was founded. However, group size does not always bring success. Instead, tactics, expertise and leadership are far more important. The Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament had an estimated 110,000 members in its heyday in the mid-1980s, but the Thatcher government could afford to ignore its large and well-orchestrated demonstrations because it could rely on the passive support of the majority of the population that opposed Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament's message. Large memberships still also may be passive, so-called checkbook members who are just happy to contribute financially but are not interested in active campaigning. Experienced, capable leadership, therefore, is more vital to success than the size of a pressure group's membership. In 2016, the AA, with its expertise of roads and cars, provided evidence and statistics to persuade the government into increasing penalties for using mobile phones while driving. In 2022-2023, the RMT union organised a series of rail strikes under the leadership of Mick Lynch, who seemed at ease in interviews with journalists and was able to quite easily explain to hostile news anchors what a peaceful picket looked like. And if you have a leader who is comfortable in front of the media, that can carry your message and maintain public support. Successful groups will know which access points in the UK political system to target, and these are the points at which a group can apply pressure. In 2022, trans rights groups lobbied for easing the process of transition and advocated the Gender Recognition Act in Scotland, in part because of the progressive ideas of the SNP leadership. Similar success was had for teachers' unions in Scotland and in Wales, who achieved better pay deals for teachers in these countries than the NEU achieved for teachers in England. Groups using social media effectively stand a far better chance of success. The online community AVAZ, that's A-V-A-A-Z, was only created in 2007, but has a membership of nearly 25 million and a catalogue of successful campaigns. AVAZ helped organise the People's Climate Marches in 2014 and 2015 to put pressure on the UN climate talks to make positive guarantees to tackle climate change. 38 Degrees, an e-petition website, allows members to express their opinion very quickly and on an unprecedented scale. The group offers the platform Campaigns by You, which provides members with the technological opportunities to undertake their own campaigns. Groups have successfully used e-petitions to bring about change by using these tools. End Period Poverty campaign began with an e-petition to scrap the tampon tax and resulted in the scrapping of VAT on sanitary products. This resulting momentum led to calls for going further and ending VAT on period pants. So I think what I'm saying is that it's not just the membership size and it's not just the financial resources that can help a pressure group be successful. It's a myriad, it's a number of factors, including leadership. But in that, of course, is the reception of the government. Now, we're going to come on to that in a second, but after the break, I'm going to focus a little bit more on public support, because you may well get a question asking you to compare whether public support is more important than government attitudes in determining pressure group success. So stand by for that. So yes, public support can indeed bring pressure group influence, pressure group success. A pressure group whose agenda is in step with public opinion is usually more successful than those whose objectives fail to engage it or whose methods alienate potential sympathisers. The Snowdrop campaign to ban the use of handguns was successful largely because of public reaction to the 1996 Dunblane primary school massacre, when a gunman killed 16 children and their teacher. Favourable media coverage can play an important role in winning support, as can the involvement of a well-known personality. I think that's my fridge making a really weird noise, sorry. It will stop in a minute. Footballer Marcus Rashford supported the campaign for free school meals to be continued over the summer holidays in 2020, and the government duly followed through with his ideas. Lack of public support does not automatically mean a pressure group will fail. But if a pressure group is campaigning against something that enjoys widespread support, then it is much more likely to fail. Evidence of this is seen with the Countryside Alliance's attempts to relax the ban on fox hunting in 2012, as the League Against Cruel Sports and the RSPCA enjoyed greater public support. Republic, a group that campaigns for an elected head of state, must operate in a climate where 67% of people favour Britain retaining a monarchy. It is unlikely to have major success, certainly not in the short term. Likewise, the Coalition for Marriage failed in its campaign against the legalisation of gay marriage because public opinion favoured it. Tactics used by Extinction Rebellion and Just Stop Oil, so climate strikes, preventing public transport, tying themselves to goalposts, gluing themselves to roads, etc., etc., have been criticised by many who would otherwise be sympathetic to the cause of combating climate change. It has also resulted in changes to the law through the 2022 Policing Act and the 2023 Public Order Act, both of which makes demonstrations even harder to organise and easier for the police to break up. In this sense, a public backlash against certain pressure group methods might lead to greater difficulties for that group in the future, especially if the government responds, as they did in the examples given here, with restrictive legislation. But I'm now going to challenge the idea that public support is key. I'm going to say that government attitudes instead matter more than public opinion when it comes to pressure groups influencing decisions. Insider contacts with government ministers and civil servants are often key to success. Government will usually listen to the group on which it relies for specialist knowledge of a specific policy area, and with those whose agenda it can see some common ground. The National Farmers Union's links to the Department for the Environment and Rural Affairs were instrumental in bringing about the 2013 Badger Cull, intended to protect cattle against tuberculosis, despite the wishes of animal welfare groups who advocated vaccination of herds as a more humane approach. The NUS, the National Union of Students, failed in its campaign to stop tuition fee increases in 2011, while disability rights group Inclusion Scotland failed to end the bedroom tax. These were well-supported campaigns with public demonstrations and even celebrity endorsements, yet they failed because the coalition government at the time was committed to its policy of austerity and raising fees. The Conservative government in 2015 was determined to introduce new policies for a seven-day NHS, therefore the BMA... The BMA campaign against the proposals were always likely to fail. Governments are often able to resist a campaign, even a popular one. The Tories did not shift their plans for the UK to be carbon neutral by 2050, despite Extinction Rebellion's call for the plan to be much more ambitious. This group wants net zero by 2025. In 2023, the government is pressing ahead with plans for minimum service levels in the public sector, curtailing the impact of strikes due to demands for higher pay. Nurses eventually proved unsuccessful in getting the pay deal they really wanted in 2023 as the government held out, and ultimately nurses failed to achieve the turnout threshold set by the Trade Union Act 2016, which is required for further strike action. So the nurses went on strike but are unable legally to go on strike again, as not enough nurses voted in the ballot to do so. And that enabled the government to then impose, not necessarily impose, but just to accept the award suggested by the independent pay review body, which was a much lower figure than the nurses would have wanted. It remains to be seen what will happen for the rest of 2023 at the time of recording and into 2024. But we can see that it's very difficult to get a government to change its mind when the government is ideologically opposed to, in this instance, raising pay for thousands of public sector workers. So in conclusion then, we can see, I think, that government attitudes are the key to pressure group success. Insider groups are on their own very, very powerful, but they are dependent on being allowed into the room. They are dependent on government attitudes to remain insider groups. And we see with the CBI's demise how important it is to have government on side. And if you're not, then you're out the door. We can also see that large membership and resources only take you so far. You've got to have a lot more than that. You've got to know which points to access. You've got to be able to use social media. You need to have decent leaders. And at the same time, you need receptive politicians at the other end, the people that you're trying to influence. Public support obviously can be very, very important and can galvanise campaigns and movements, forcing the government to change policy. But if a government with a large majority refuses, then they can wait out the storm, as the government appears or have appeared to have done with these public sector strikes. And certainly they are not particularly receptive to rights groups at the moment when it comes to protecting asylum seekers. They're not particularly receptive to those who are pointing out the injustices of the welfare system, homeless groups, and so on. So I think we can use this current government as a good case study in demonstrating how important it is to have ideological cohesion with those in charge in order to bring about pressure group success. Okay, that's it from me. This was a freebie podcast. I do one free podcast every month. If you like what you hear, if you found these examples particularly useful, then why not subscribe to Plus Plus Plus, where you get two bonus podcasts every month, plus full access to every podcast I've ever produced, 126 at the time of recording, a lot more perhaps nearer your exams in 2024, plus access to EG for Me, my news update service, where I help you make sense of the news. So think about that, just $1.99 a month. The deets on how to subscribe are in the show notes. I'll leave that with you. Take care. Until the next time. Ta-ra.